We live in the society, and for living our lives, to live in the society, there are times when human beings have clashes with each other. Arguments come around, or fights break out, misconceptions, and within our own relatives, relations, close friends, acquaintances, misunderstandings can occur. This is reality. And this is one of the occurrences of life in this society, in this world. And what we see is that when a person has an argument with somebody else, for example, you have a very close friendship and a misunderstanding occurs, and one friend says to the other friend something, and the other friend didn't like what that first person said, then the separation occurs. And even if they make up after some time or for a reason, then due to a reason, for example, there are two relatives or two close friends, and then they come back together. But the reality is that such a stain has come onto that relationship, and then again, if that person remembers what was said before, then he feels pain or hurt, and then life becomes such a thing that a person is close, but still he's far. He's close, but he's far. And then physically they're close, and they're drinking tea and shaking hands and laughing, etc. But in their hearts, they are thousands of miles away. And this separation or distance is quite a lot, and it's difficult to close the gap. Look, they're looking at each other, sitting together and shaking hands, but within the heart there is pain. There's a crack, or there is hurt, and the person is upset. And maybe, yes, fair enough, they mend the ties, but again, after some time or due to an example, the person will remember what happened before. He tries to forget what's in his heart, but due to the relationship or the friendship, and despite being close physically, a person is very far from the other person. This happens in the world, isn't it? And what's the reason for this? That, oh, he said something and that's caused my displeasure. So if Allah Ta'ala becomes displeased with a human being, then what is the hal of that human being? Tell me. If Allah is not happy, then Allah is far, isn't it? And we can go back to the insan or the friend or the relative and try to make up. But how do we explain to Allah? How do we make up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we mend the ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there a formula? Can we see something that a servant, a human being, how he can please Allah and mend that tie that was broken or was distanced from? So there are ways, and there is an example. Many people who do cause the wrath of Allah or the displeasure of Allah, they don't listen to Allah. And in our lives, Allah Ta'ala has given us the hand and feet and eyes and stomach. He's given us our brain and everything, and we still disobey Allah. Allah has given us so much, and if we displease Allah or don't listen to Allah, then Allah will not be happy with us. And if Allah is not happy with us, then what will be the hal of us or of those people? Tell me, is that a life of a person when Allah the Creator is not happy? Is that life? That's not life. If Allah is displeased, then if Allah is displeased, the whole universe is displeased. The creatures are displeased. And it becomes a very weird situation. And it seems that physically that person is walking around living. But as I said, when that person or when the two are displeased with each other, two people in the world, maybe physically they're close, but in reality, spiritually, they're very far from each other. In the same way, if Allah is far from a person spiritually, then Allah's rahmah, it ends. Because we've displeased Allah. We've made Allah angry. Isn't it? So today, if we realize that I've committed an excess, I have displeased my Lord, Allah, what is the hal? What is the solution? How do I seek Allah Ta'ala and come back to Allah Ta'ala again? Which kalama shall I recite? That if Allah is unhappy, then there's nothing. Then my life is a waste. Isn't it? And life becomes futile, and there's no objective of a person at that time. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, subhanAllah, is always there, and Allah Himself has given the solution. Nobody else can. And Allah Ta'ala said that you can't please me on your own. Oh, people, disrespect people, you have disobeyed me, and you are looking for me now, for Allah, how to mend the ties with Allah, that you've gone so far from me due to your disobedience. So Allah Ta'ala's rahmah itself comes out and calls out and announces. Allah Ta'ala Himself mentions to the believers. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, that, oh my mahbub, my beloved. Look how Allah Ta'ala has addressed the people. Allah Ta'ala is the best. And Allah Ta'ala is saying to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that tell the people with a beautiful and unique style, Allah Ta'ala is saying, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ. And who is Allah Ta'ala saying this to? That person who has disobeyed Allah all his life, all his life, and he has created obstacles and walls, he has maybe worshipped the sun or the moon, or to human beings he's made God, or he's made certain physical things in the world God, and there's no basis of understanding there. From here to there, those people who don't believe, and even if they believe, they still don't believe. You got that category as well. That despite knowing and understanding, they still don't want to believe. So Allah Ta'ala has put everyone into this category. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ. And how Allah Ta'ala is addressing Allah's rahmah, His mercy is so great and powerful. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ. That, oh subhanAllah, Allah says, O you servants of mine, if you are my servants. So Allah Ta'ala started like this. Oh my servants, oh my people, my creation. Look how Allah Ta'ala is addressed. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ سُرَفُوا. Subhanallahina srafu ala anfusihim. Allah said, okay, fine. Let's just take it as that is. To those people Allah is addressing, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. Allah Ta'ala says that look how Allah Ta'ala has shown the sin to people. Look at Allah's rahmah and Allah's mercy with His servant. If we think that there's a mujrim and a crime, a criminal, and an extreme criminal, and will he be spoken with respect from the constable to the top? They will push him around and throw him around and say, what are you doing? Where you come from? Who will speak to him in a nice way? But our Mawla, Allahu Akbar, Allah the Qadir, the Mutlaq, the Creator, the Most Powerful, Allah Ta'ala is saying to the biggest sinners and criminals, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ. Allahu Akbar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. Allah says, oh my servants, O servants of mine, O you servants of mine. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah says, okay, you have transgressed against your own selves. So Allah Ta'ala isn't telling them off or scolding them. Allah Ta'ala says that those deeds you implemented, those sins you committed, and you disobeyed me, and you challenged me, and you didn't listen to me, and you used to neglect my ahkams and my orders, and you, if I said something, you went opposite. If I said to you, do this, you didn't do it. And if I said, don't do this, you used to do it. So Allah Ta'ala says, you went opposite to what I desired. So Allah Ta'ala says, subhanAllah, أَلَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. What have you done, O foolish people? Just like a mother tells a child, that if you, for example, take this dirty apple and eat it, then the mother is telling the child, it's your stomach that will ache and pain, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala says, foolish person, you carried on sinning, you disobeyed me, I used to call you for salah, you used to run away. I used to call you towards me, and you used to sneak out another route. So whose loss is this? Allah Ta'ala says, mine? You think it's my loss? If you have not prostrated to me, you think it's my loss? Allah Ta'ala says, no. Allah Ta'ala says, every dharra is doing my sajda. How can it be my loss? Allah Ta'ala said, this is not my loss. Every dharra is. So in reality, when a person commits a sin, an excess, Allah Ta'ala is not speaking about big, big sins. Allah Ta'ala says, even a small so-called minor deed, even if it's equivalent to a speck of dust, a mustard seed, atom's weight, Allah says, this causes my displeasure. Not, oh, I only did a little thing, what difference does it make? No, what's the hukum behind this sin, behind this deed? What's the hukum of the ilahi? What's the order of the Lord, of our Creator, of our Rabb? There's no small sin in the eyes of Allah, or in our eyes, the same way. So Allah Ta'ala said that you knew that this was disobedience and you disobeyed. Allah says, as soon as you disobey me, then I go far. And when Allah Ta'ala is far, then everything goes far from us. And it's not Allah Ta'ala's loss, it's the servant's loss, the human being's loss. So Allah Ta'ala says that nothing of mine has gone, I haven't lost anything, but you destroy your own soul. Allah Ta'ala says that, oh you servants of mine who have transgressed against your own selves, you used to sit in isolation and sin against me or commit disobedience. Allah Ta'ala said that you were destroying yourself, you were immersed in the sins at the time. Shayateen and jinn had grabbed you, you transgressed against your own self, and your status at that time was in a very bad position when you were sinning. So Allah Ta'ala explains that when a person sins, what is he doing? He is doing dhulm on his own self, on his jann. He is immersing his body in hellfire. Allah Ta'ala says, no loss to me. So such a big feeling and emotion, such a big condition, Allah is saying, don't sin. Allah says, I don't lose out anything. When a person sins, commits transgression, excess, then he is transgressing against his own self. Then Allah Ta'ala said, ala anfusim, alladhina asrafu ala anfusim. You carried on sinning, carried on doing bad deeds, bad actions, but you are my servant, aren't you? Allah Ta'ala said, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Allah Ta'ala says, now I will explain to you the method myself, that still you are my servant and my creation. And Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you the solution of how to become the friends with Allah, how to mend the ties. Do you want to commit and commit to a friendship with Allah in such a way? Allahu Akbar. Allah says, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. How Allah Ta'ala takes somebody out from the depths and the darkness of Jahannam and wraps him and enshrouds him with his mercy. 70, 80 years a person disobeyed Allah, challenged Allah, and worshipped the animals or worshipped his desires, and every day would listen to the bayan or do dhikr or remember Allah, but still would follow the sins and would still follow and obey his desires, and became so stubborn that his ears are sealed and he's listening, he's watching, he's seeing the messages delivered, but in the morning he still goes and does what he wants. No power of the world could change them or shake them, because shaitan had overtaken and overwhelmed them. So this is it. Like, for example, we're sitting here, and after leaving, we'll carry on. If I do the same actions that I was doing before, then tell me, what is my situation? What is my condition? How can I think for a moment that I continue to disobey Allah? What will be my status in the court of Allah? That I go beyond and worse than Fir'aun? The message is coming to me, to my mind, to my heart, everything's going in. And as soon as I leave that gathering, I carry on. The next morning, say, oh no, I didn't hear anything. No, I went to dhikr. Yeah, I liked it. It was very nice. I could hear the dhikr. I did dhikr. But that's it. My brothers, we fall into the depths, into darkness. And then if a person becomes so stubborn, Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow that person to come out of that trap. Then he's lost and he wonders. Allah says, your life will never be made. You'll come out once only, when you will have to go to Jahannam straight after coming out of the grave. So we should do tawbah, repent and do istighfar. If Allah is explaining something, then we shouldn't challenge and commit those same deeds again. Then where's the barakah? Allah Ta'ala says, no, no. Allah says, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Allah says, okay, my servants, you servants of mine who have transgressed against your own selves, then Allah says, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. I will give you the solution. Then we'll become friends again, and I will forget your disrespect and disobedience to me, and the bad actions you committed, and the sins, and what was your condition, and the fraud, and the deception, transgression, and bad actions. Allah Ta'ala says that you made, you've worshipped your own soul, or your desires, and you created your own Lord. Allah Ta'ala says, and such the ties will be mended. Allah Ta'ala says that from the dust of the earth down to the depth of Jahannam where the person's in, Allah Ta'ala says, I will let my rahmah come there. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. You don't need to feel despair. Allah Ta'ala says that when you are down and out, then you have courage. Bring courage about yourself. Allah says, stand. When you are immersed and drowned in the sins, Allah says, stand. Because my rahmah, my mercy doesn't want that one individual goes into Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala says that I want Jahannam to be empty, and I want paradise to be so full that I have to put the board outside, house full. House full. Subhanallah. That everyone, all the human beings have gone into Jannah. Allah's rahmah wants this. Why? Because Allah says, قُلْ لَا إِبَادِي. So, قُلْ يَا إِبَادِي. You are my servants. I created you. You are the human beings that I created. Look how Allah Ta'ala is speaking with love and with mercy. Allah Ta'ala loves His creation so much. Subhanallah. Otherwise, with the criminals, you see that the criminals, how they are treated, that if a criminal is called and addressed in the world, then he is disrespected in the world when he is called, and how people see him and treat him and look down at him. So Allah says, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, I will give you the targheeb. I will give you the method. No big ibadah or worship or action. Just one kalima Allah Ta'ala has taught us. One. Allah Ta'ala isn't demanding of us extreme physical endurance and physical actions. Allah Ta'ala says, no, just say one thing and me and you will be friends again. Allah Ta'ala says, and not one, not two, thousands of walis from the beginning of time until Qiyamah who have come and who will come. The Sahaba Ikram, they are witness to this, that one kalima, a Sahabi was made, a Tabi'in was made, a Wali Allah, a Ghawth, a Qutb was made. Tell me, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, what was he? What was he before and what did he become afterwards? Let's have a look. Let's see the history. Such walis of Allah. Such great walis of Allah. Who committed, you could say, kabair sins maybe before. Who were for example, intoxicated at certain time and were drinking alcohol and didn't know about the akhirah, and there was loss and sin, and Allah Ta'ala, during the period of intoxication, they mentioned the name of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala made them the walis of Allah, and their names are written in the kitabs. Brothers, this is our history. This is our history. That same word Allah Ta'ala is reminding us today. He's making us revise today, tonight. And if we repeat those same words in that condition and emotion, then see Allah's rahmah. Allah says, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, You do tawbah and I will forgive all of the sins. Subhanallah. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Despair not of Allah's mercy. Subhanallah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah, behold, Allah forgives all sins. Just ask for repentance and Allah says, I will wipe away all of your sins. And you don't even need to think about the sins you did. Rather, the sins, I will wipe them away, eliminate them. You won't even realize that you sinned ever. Why? Because I am your Rabb. Who can challenge me? Allahu Akbar. Inna Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba. This is Allah speaking, not some magistrate or crown court judge, or their conditions, or you have to give this fine or penalty or points or this and that. Community service, Allah says, no lawyer between me and you, no solicitor between me and you, no Nabi, no Wali, just you and me. Allah says, there will be darkness, you can go into the darkness, there will be no witness I don't need. Allah says, I don't need no preparation or witness or situation. You're on your own, you're on the road, in the street, you're in the shopping center, you're sitting in the shop, you're buying goods, groceries, and even while you're shopping, you realize you were sinful and you do tawbah and ask for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala says, I will forgive you. You're sitting in your office, you're working at your desk, and you suddenly, you realize you were a sinner, and you drop the pen, and you do tawbah, then Allah says, you will leave that office as a wali of Allah. Allahu Akbar, look at Allah's glory. Aha, la taqnutu min rahmatillah. This is our Rabb, our Lord, our Creator, my brothers, who we sin against and transgress against morning till evening. Allah Ta'ala says, further, Subhanallah. And we say we're going to carry on sinning. We challenge Allah. Who's going to stop me? We listen and we hear. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. See who stops me. Is there anyone who can stop me from this? Says that person. Allahu Akbar. No. This is not right. So Allah Ta'ala says that even though you transgressed and sinned, Allahu Akbar. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah Ta'ala says, behold, look at my mercy. Don't despair of it. Allah forgives all sins. For verily, innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Verily, most definitely, who is speaking? Allah. And the one who is speaking, who is that? Allah says, Innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Ghafur and rahim. When Allah Ta'ala comes to forgive, He forgives everyone. He doesn't look at anybody. Then Allah says, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. For verily, most definitely, He alone, Innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. He alone is much forgiving. And ar-rahim, a dispenser of grace. I won't just forgive you, I'll give you the grace. And what inam, what reward will I give you? Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah. The Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you such a great reward. First you are forgiven, and I will give you my rewards. And Allah Ta'ala says that I will give you reward beyond that. Beautiful life, a new lease of life I will give to you. And not here. Allah says, this is not life. This is not life. If I give you a lot here, maybe I'll give you kingdom, leadership, or lands, or assets, or women, or you'll get married and have wives. What you desire. Allah says, what is this you're asking for here? Ask for the pure life. Hayatun tayyiba. That is where I will give to you in the hereafter. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Just one word. Bargain. A deal. Make a deal with us. So the word here is tawbah. So here, now we have to think a little bit that we will get this reward, and not just on tawbah. One point, let me explain to you. A beautiful point we need to understand here. So what tawbah is Allah Ta'ala asking for? We live in this world. I'll give you an example so we understand. And when a person lives in society, he's affected by society. And this dunya plays games. And we've learned how to do trickery and play games and cheat. On everything we do in life, we cheat ourselves or others, or trick somebody. For example, if I'm a taxi driver, I try to work out how I can speed up this meter so I can earn more and charge a higher fare. And other actions we do in the world, we're always thinking of shortcut methods. And for example, we have tawbah in the same way today. Repentance, which is number one, and number two. We have the genuine and we have the fake. Now let's take the example of Musa alayhi salam's qawm, because our habits as a qawm, as a ummah of Rasulullah alayhi salam, were very similar in habits and traits with the qawm, the nation of Musa alayhi salam. So what's the point I'm explaining? You've heard, like, you know, you go to a shop to buy something, some goods or products. There's the genuine article. the original and you have fake items. So you have number one and number two. When you go to the shop, buy shoes or clothes, etc., and you have the label, the brand, the original brand, the original label good, which is the expensive item. And then you have number two, the fake item, which has copied that label or that trade name or that brand. And the name is there, the label is there, but it's the fake item. So you can't even tell the difference nowadays between number one and two, genuine and fake. But there is a reality, there is a difference. And we play the same game with Allah. Even in tawbah, we do the same thing. When we repent, we do the same thing. We have the original genuine tawbah. Genuine, we have the fake tawbah. I'll give you the example. It was the generation of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and it wasn't raining for some time. The drought had come about, and it was a severe drought, and it stopped raining, and everything dried up, and it was severe, and people were suffering. And this was the generation of the Nabi Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And his people came to him and said, Musa alayhi salam, we are in a severe situation. Please do something. Speak to your Lord, to God, and ask for rahmah, mercy, and ask for rain so that we can come out of this misery. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam raised his hands and did dua and said, Allah, that my qawm is distressed and there's no rain. Please arrange rain to come to us. So Allah ta'ala said, Musa, rain will not come. It will not rain. And Musa alayhi salam said, Allah, why? That, you know, all of his qawm, his nation, his people had come out and approached him, and they were standing there, and they said, Musa alayhi salam, do dua. They're all standing in the field, in the maidan. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is speaking to Allah. And Allah said, no, the rain won't come. And Musa alayhi salam said, Allah, my people have come, they're asking you for rain. Allah ta'ala said that such is your nation, so many people of yours have come to ask from you. But there's one man within all of those people that 40 years, total 40 years, he has not done one action that can cause my pleasure. Not one action. 40 years mutawatir, continuous, he has sinned and transgressed. And even today we see this, that even 40 years, 80 years, you will see people, not 40 years, decades, 8, 9 decades, they don't know what is salah, what is the kalima, what is faith, iman. They still haven't worked out the objective of life. So Allah Ta'ala said to Musa, the 40 years this man in your ummah hasn't done one good deed that could cause my pleasure. Rather, he's one opposite. So he's in your majma, in your group, how can I let the rain come? If he is taken out of that gathering and removed, then the rain can come. Now who's going to find this man? Such a big gathering. The qawm is standing there. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam went back and addressed his nation that, listen, I've spoken to Allah. I asked for rain. And the situation is that Allah Ta'ala told me, replied, that there's a man within the qawm, our people, who has earned Allah's displeasure, disobedient. Now, quietly slip out of this gathering, oh man, so you can hear me, so that the rest of the people at least can benefit. So do this action at least after 40 years of sinning. At least slip away quietly and let everybody benefit. That man heard this, he thought, I've been found out today. I'm going to be wretched amongst everyone. He's standing there sweating, thinking, what shall I do? He thought, now, scenario one, if I leave, then I will be wretched and cursed. And people say, this shaitan, and he spoilt our lives and caused misery to come to us, and I'll be dishonored. And I'll be dishonored for life. But if I stay within our people and I don't expose myself or leave, then the drought will continue, no rain will come. He thought, what shall I do? He was distressed. And he looked, you know, he looked quickly, glanced to the left or right. Is there somebody else? Maybe it's not me. He thought, maybe it's somebody else. He looked left to the right, looked up and down. And now he thought, no, there's nobody else here. It's just me. And if we wait and this man will come out, everyone was waiting, this man, where is he going to leave? And when it became an extreme situation, and he saw his loss in front of him and destruction, and he was stuck and trapped, then he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Mawla, my Lord, until today you have put the veil, I've put the veil in front of me. I've put the veil in front of me and I've sinned and transgressed. Allah, remove this veil, Allah, because if I leave, then I will be caught out, I'll be found out. People will see me for what I really am as the sinner. And I will be wretched in society, disrespected in society, I'll lose my honor. Allah, please save me from dishonor, and I do tawbah today. I do tawbah today, I repent to you. Allah, don't expose me, Allah, don't expose me. I'll be sold out to my exposure. Allah, I do tawbah, I repent, Allah, forgive me and save me from dishonor, disrespect. Allah, he just said a little bit like this, and the winds came, the cool breeze came, the clouds came, and then the rain started to drop from the clouds. And this is happening whilst the gathering was still there. And Musa alayhi salam thought, the man didn't come out of the gathering, he didn't leave the gathering, no tawbah, etc. What's happening here? So he turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's happened here? No man has come out, I didn't see anybody. The condition you put, that where's this cloud come from? Where's the rain come from? And Allah ta'ala replied, Musa, the reason why the drought came for that same person, due to that same person, the rain has come. That due to that person, the rain that had ceased, and due to that same person, the rain has come. And Musa alayhi salam said, Allah, how did the rain come? What's happened now? What's different? And Allah ta'ala said in reply that he requested sulah. He wanted to mend the ties with me, the broken ties with me. He did tawbah and I mended the ties. Allah ta'ala said our friendship was existent again. So this was what? Number two tawbah. Not the genuine tawbah. What tawbah was this? That he didn't do it originally, genuinely for the sake of Allah, for the love of Allah ta'ala, for the fear of Allah. His tawbah had a condition. There was a reason of the dunya. There was a cause of the world that caused him to say Allah tawbah. Allah was on his objective. So today we don't do tawbah genuinely, properly. And that's why when we do tawbah, number two, fake, then the consequences are not genuine and they're not long lasting and they're not sincere. So a person, when he's exposed, he does tawbah. And today, that's the same situation. But the tawbah without being exposed, this is when a person, he does the fake tawbah, it's number two. But even then, if a person does fake tawbah, their effects are good. Person does fraud or deception, he's a criminal, he's committing crime, flagrantly he's opposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even then, if he is fake and he's not sincere, Allah ta'ala likes tawbah. Just like that person did at number two, fake tawbah, even then the rain came, the clouds came. And even due to the fake tawbah, which is not sincere, Allah ta'ala allows that person's tawbah to be accepted, that maybe through his requirements of the dunya, he will get something in the akhirah and improve himself through time. But today he has done a second class tawbah. Okay, fair enough, at least in the people, let him wander around, Allah ta'ala says, as a forgiven person, as a changed person. At least then Allah still gives a chance. But the first tawbah, the original genuine tawbah, hayatun tayyib, Allah says, if you do true tawbah, Allah says, I'm ghafoor, I'm rahim, and the reward I will give to you is the tawbah number one, the genuine original article, the genuine article. Remember this and be ready to do this. Number one, khalis, pure sincere tawbah, this which has the brand name and the label and the trademark. Allah says, a person who does tawbah sincerely, then, and he says, Allah, please be pleased with me. I sinned, Allah. I want to mend the broken tie with you. Khalis, purely for Allah's sake. No dunya in between. No greed. No third reason. No third party. Oh Allah, please do this for me. Then I'll do tawbah. Oh Allah, please take this difficulty away and I'll do tawbah. Oh Allah, please make life easy and I'll do tawbah. Oh, if he's unhappy for a little while, straight away tawbah. Oh Yasin, I've done khatam. Or done khatam of the Quran. Or sadqat. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. What is this? All of this tawbah is second class tawbah. But the tawbah is that tawbah that despite him, everything, alhamdulillah, totally it's in his control. The life, the whole life and dunya is in his control. But the khawf, the fear of Allah has come in his heart, the love of Allah has come in his heart. Then Allah says that due to, then he says, oh Allah, due to your love, I discard this sin and I discard this wrong action. I don't say, Allah, take my difficulties away, or give me wealth, or Allah, give me a shop or business, then I'll do tawbah. No, Allah says, he says to Allah, Allah, I just have one loss and one hurt in my pain. Allah, give me the akhirah, give me tawbah, and I would like to come closer to you. And this is where Allah ta'ala says, when you do tawbah like this, I will give you hayatun tayyibah, the true success and reward eternal in the life to come. So what is the hayatun tayyibah that we attain, a person will attain on the true genuine tawbah? Brothers, let's correct our tawbah after today. Remember this. Let's correct. If our life is continuing in parallel with second class tawbah, life will continue. But it's a weak position and a weak scenario, and it's temporary, and it's temporary respect and wealth. And the proper reward will come when? Number one, tawbah. When we do true tawbah, sincere tawbah, genuine tawbah, then that person's habit is transformed and he has one habit after that, that Allah, that I end all of my desires, I suppress all of my desires, and from today whatever you desire is what I will practice. If you don't like something, I will leave it. If you like something, I will do it. Allah, I will suppress and sell my desires for your desires. Allah, whatever you like, I will do it. Allah says, do this. That every moment, every second, Allah, whatever you call out and announce and say, I will live my life according to your preference and desire. This doesn't matter how much loss I see physically in the world, I know it's a test. I know it's a challenge. And I will sell all of my desires and whatever I see as a loss, and I will take whatever you give me, Allah. Everything, all of my actions in my life, nothing in my life in the dunya will be in opposite to what you want. Whatever you desire, I will do, Allah. And this is number one tawbah. And this is called genuine tawbah. And this is called, Allah Ta'ala says that hayatun tayyibah. And what hayatun tayyibah is this? Allahu Akbar. If we see here, we see the sketch in the Quran and the hadith that how a person will pass away, and then Allah Ta'ala says that there'll be hashr and the day of judgment, and he will have done true tawbah in the world, number one tawbah. and he will benefit, and that person will enter into Jannah. As soon as he enters into Jannah, into paradise. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. You will see the transport of nur, like a person goes to do Hajj, and for example, you go in the transport, in the bus, in the coach, and you go from A to B, etc. You will have gone to the bus station, that there's a bus going from a place, and you go and sit on your coach, and you depart from A to B. So as soon as you go into Jannah, first and foremost, salamun, 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 and the angels will welcome him. Nur will be spread out. This is Hayatun Tayyibah. Just give me a little sketch of what will happen in the hereafter. Hayatun Tayyibah. Allah says, I'll give you the eternal reward. Salamun, salamun, marhaba, welcome, udkhulul Jannah. Enter into paradise, O servant of Allah. What a beautiful man, great person, woman. So when the Jannati, the inhabitant of paradise, will go into Jannah, say, where have I come? I used to live in Bolton, and I saw takeaways and food. What is this? Where have I reached to? What drama is this I can see here? MashaAllah. Within seconds, the life will transform, the scene will transform. You'll see the angels. And the angel of Nur will say, come, come, come. Your transport here, your transport here, your mode of transport here. And the word will be announced, and they will all be stood there with the flag, the transport, transport, convenience, convenience. Come, come for your reward, come for your reward. Aye, aye. What a transport mode there will be in thereafter. And what will be the transport mode in Jannah? A person has seen this, and I am the witness of this. He was shown that what is the transport mode in Jannah, in paradise. And I'm the witness to this. You'll be amazed that there will be an animal like a camel in Jannah, in paradise. And a person has seen this. There's a waqia, an event, a true story that I'm telling you, true event. And it's not something that's against the haq, against the truth. A person saw this. And what is that that he saw? That is an animal. And like a camel, an ajeeb and unique animal that cannot be described. And the Jannati, the man of paradise, is sat onto that animal. Then the animal, it rises up and flies like a bird flies. And he flies so fast. And the man who sits on that transport, the person from Jannah, and he will have no beard on his face. And he will be so beautiful and handsome. And Allah Ta'ala has given a sketch of the Hayatun Tayyibah, the life in Jannah. And that it will be a young person. Because Allah will announce, you are now young. And you'll never be old again. And you are alive today, and you will never die again, and you are immersed and drowned in Allah's ni'mas upon ni'mas, and there will be no poverty or hunger again after today, and there will be no illness after today. You will be healthy and beautiful and handsome forevermore. Husn and Jamal and beauty will drop from your face and your bodies, and the beards will be not on the face, on the chins, and you'll be clean shaven. Your eyes will have like surma on them, and your hair will be so nice and beautiful and smooth, and there will be a beautiful scene and handsomeness. Allahu Akbar. You will have the height of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And you'll have the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And you'll have the beautiful voice of like Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam. And the age and longevity of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And you'll have the akhlaq of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the sketch of Hayatun Tayyibah. Allahu Akbar. And such a beautiful example of handsomeness a person will have. And here we have 4, 5 foot, 6 foot. We'll have the height of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And after that, we will sit on that animal, and we will travel on the animal from this Jannah to this Jannah to this Jannah. And the animal will take that person of Jannah to Jannatul Firdaus. Who did? Tawbah number one, the genuine Tawbah. Listen carefully, we should do Tawbah. Tawbah number one from today. We have to change our tawbah and make our tawbah genuine. There should be no greed or strings attached with our tawbah. And we should recognize Allah. And we should suppress our desires and sell our desires for Allah Ta'ala's desire. And that's when we'll get this. And very quickly we'll get this. Then what will happen? That animal, it will stop. And it will take that person from one place to another place. And then he will see a palace and a mansion, a beautiful white palace with the precious jewels attached to it. And he will look inside his palace. He will see beautiful women who will be saying, marhaba to him, marhaba to him. Beautiful ghulams, and there will be servants there and maids. And he will descend and try to go into the house. And his transport, the animal will say, where are you going? He said, there's my house has come. He said, where are you going? He said, look, I can see my palace and the mansion. Then the animal will say, this is your mansion, your palace, but there's a better maqam about for you beyond this. Is it? And then the transport, his animal will continue to travel and fly. He'll see a red palace and mansion with beautiful jewels and pearls attached to it, and more beautiful than the first one. And the women there, the women that he left, they will be more beautiful. The women in the second one, they'll say, marhaba, welcome, come. The beautiful scene, he'll think, this is my mansion. He'll descend, and his animal will say, where are you going? He says, my palace has come. And they'll say to him, what are you talking about? This is better than this you are getting. Your palace and house is beyond this, your standard is higher than this. Then he'll sit down again, and he'll travel again, and he'll get to the third place, and he will see Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus. And this is the highest class Jannah, for which we ask dua that Allah, Rasulullah SAW, give us Rasulullah SAW's qurb, and give us the highest grade in Jannah, and give us Jannatul Firdaus. And what's the difference in this Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, all of the other abodes and levels of Jannah are constructed, manufactured for us due to our amal, to our deeds. Allah Ta'ala said, I've made Firdaus myself, the mansions and the bricks and everything, and the level of Firdaus is such, Allah Ta'ala says, I've made it myself. And the roof of Firdaus is the arsh of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which is the most beautiful thing from the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So when he descends into Firdaus, he will see Allahu Akbar, a beautiful mansion, beautiful homes, and beauty and glory and reward he will get. And he will see beautiful women who will be his partners in Jannah. Then he'll see the most beautiful woman there, and the women that he left behind on his journey, he cannot compare with this woman. And there'll be a woman standing there, and he says, this woman, she looks similar to me. Then he'll look closer again, I know this woman. And she will hint to him, ta'alhinna, call him, come. And she's calling me, who is this woman? And he will realize suddenly then that this was his wife from the dunya, from the world. Subhanallah. No problem, O husband and wife. If you've got arguments here or clashes here, the situation will change in the hereafter. In the hadith, it is stated that the women with iman and the women of iman, of belief, and the pious women, they will be given this maqam in the hereafter. And the last woman he will see in paradise, she will be the most beautiful woman. And she will have so much beauty. And that is stated in the hadith, if the woman of Jannah was to lower even a portion of herself, was to be exposed and glanced at the world, and it would be enveloped in darkness, enshrouded in darkness. Because the beauty of the woman of Iman, it will be 70,000 times greater than this woman that I've just mentioned. That if she glances at the world or just exposes a bit of her beauty to the world and the universe, and she will say to her husband that we used to fight and quarrel in the world, but from today I won't fight or quarrel with you. And I left you, didn't I? Or you left me? From today we will never leave each other. And I will never leave you. And I give you another promise that from today we will love each other so much that you will never complain against me. And she sang this song, and she will sing this song and sing these words, and she will go back into a palace. Hayatun tayyiba, Allah Ta'ala says, this is what you'll get in paradise. So my brothers, do we not want this? We should think for a few moments. This is all according to the Quran and Hadith I've mentioned. This is not stories, my opinions, or a storybook or jackanory. This is the reality. Our iman is based on this. Our aqidah is based on this. Our belief is based on this. After death is a life. And this is the sketch that Allah Ta'ala has given. The sketch. Allah Ta'ala has given us glimpses. These are clips that have been given to us according to the Hadith, so that people can understand that what is it we will get in the world. There's such a big life. Such a great life. There's such a great reality that we're passing through. And we sell our lives and our hereafter on this temporary world. On our daka, on currency, we sell the world for Allah Ta'ala's displeasure. We should imagine from this that if some days we control our lives, some days if we control our lives, just for a few moments, and we persevere through the difficulties of the hunger, or if our standards decreased, or there are difficulties, and we persevere, and it doesn't take long to get used to the difficulties, just a little bit of time maybe. Let's just think for a while, that you drink tea, and you put 2 spoons of sugar in the tea, and you like it, and it's tasty, and it's sweet, and you enjoy it. You like it, isn't it? But if you got diabetes, you have to leave the sugar, and you don't put sugar in your tea, and you leave that sugar for a few months. Then what happens after a month, or after 6 months, your friend, you meet him, you're having tea, and he puts 2 spoons of sugar. You say, no, don't put sugar in the tea. I don't drink. He said, no, but you take sugar. No, I don't like sugar. I dislike it. I'm not used to it anymore. And he starts to dislike sugar. So what we realize that insan, human being, his nature is such that if he wants to do something right, he can make it a habit. So if today we want to control ourselves, suppress our desires, sell off our sins, and if we want to start doing good deeds and do number one tawbah, genuine tawbah, the genuine original tawbah, sincerely, purely, then we'll have to stick to our promises and to Allah Ta'ala's orders and His laws, and leave deception and fraud and cheating, the life of cheating. If we do this number one tawbah, then what will we get? What will we attain? What life, new lease of life Allah Ta'ala will give to us. Allahu Akbar. So my brothers, this is what we need to do. We have to pass away, isn't it? Even if we're sinning, Allah Ta'ala says the time is a portion. And if we die and we've not attained nothing, and we just pass the time in this world, Allah Ta'ala says we will not earn anything in this world or the hereafter except for Allah Ta'ala's displeasure. Let's come together and promise to Allah, Allah, your shukr to you, I'm grateful to you. You have mentioned to me, you have opened my eyes, you have enlightened my heart with this Quran, with this verse of the Quran. Allah, take the love of the world out of my heart. Allah, take the love of the world out of my heart. What is this here? Nothing. Tell me what you ate yesterday, what you'll get tomorrow. Where's that pilau and that rice and that food and those dishes you had? Where's the taste of the world that we sell our life for? Sins. Let's take zina, adultery. And we think it's so attractive. We like that woman. The man plays with the hair of that woman, with her body, and he praises her and he touches her lips and he does everything while he's doing zina and committing adultery. And he feels satisfaction. And ask the man in the morning, where's that enjoyment? Where's that taste gone? And he doesn't even realize he's done zina. I'm giving you a unique example. Every taste of the world, enjoyment. Because this is such a weak point of the human being, I'd give you this dirty example in pure. Otherwise, I wouldn't have mentioned this example of zina. But we have become so accustomed to the taste of zina. Allah says, look, I've kept a pure woman for you in the hereafter. Because Allah Ta'ala says, the taste, the true taste, it should be forever the taste of the akhirah. But we like to run after the unlawful actions, haram in the world, and we take enjoyment out of this. Allah says, I've given you better than this. Halal. You don't have to do zina and commit adultery, and take the woman as your eternal partner, the wife in this world through the nikah. Take that the lawful way of doing the communication with the woman. So Allah says, don't go towards haram and unlawful actions. There are different ways of zina. There are ways of doing. The person does physical zina, the zina of the eyes, adultery of the eyes. There's the telephone in the pocket. A person takes it out, taps the buttons, and does zina, commits adultery, fornication. So Allah says, that same human being, if he does true tawbah, genuine tawbah, he says, Allah, I close my eyes, I will cover my eyes, I won't do zina again, I will stop my hands, I won't go towards haram, I won't allow anything unlawful to come into my stomach, I will die out of hunger, but I won't do wrong, I won't earn wrong. And just after a few days, this taste for haram ends. Just after, within a few days, and he's accustomed to and becomes used to, it becomes the habit of going towards good. Hayatun tayyib, Allah gives him the good life, the eternal life. The rule, so inshallah, we should try and make effort that we stay steadfast in our tawbah. If we've sinned, do true tawbah today. Our appearance, our akhlaq. Allah Ta'ala has given an example that you just need to understand this. That Allah Ta'ala says, I'm giving you an example here. And this is that example, that there's no one more beloved than me, to me, than this, the person who's done tawbah. Allah says, I'm giving an example here, that the most beloved action and the most beloved person in the world, the universe, Allah says, I didn't make the earth or the hereafter for nothing except the man to do tawbah and to come close to me. Allah says, and look, I created the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is the best example for you. The best example for you. And I didn't make the earth and the heavens and paradise for no other reason except for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he was created for this reason first, and the dunya came after. Allah says, just do his naql, imitate him, close your eyes and follow his way of life, and I will forgive your sins and you will earn paradise. Simple deen, simple religion. Why do you do this action? Because our Nabi did this. Why are you doing this action? Because our Nabi did this. We don't need to debate or argue with somebody or quarrel with somebody or present proofs or this or that. No, because our Nabi did this action, and he is the great example, the greatest personality who came to this world. All of the 124,000 prophets who came to the world, he is the greatest example for them all. And we are his ummati. We are in his nation. And this is the secret behind our success. We can't attain success through ilm or knowledge, etc. We want his knuckle and imitation. And we got proof that our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this. That's it. We're going to practice that action. That's it. And very easy for us. Then the argument finishes. Then your sins won't be committed again. Isn't it? So he won't do amal on the sins again. How can they be committed again, the sins? So anyway, let's do true tawbah in Allah Ta'ala's presence. Then we'll do dhikr of Allah. Beautiful words we've discussed today. Beautiful topic came to our discussion. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to do true tawbah, genuine tawbah. And when we do tawbah, when we repent, then think, am I doing tawbah number one or tawbah number two? If my tawbah is number two, fake, then quietly come across to number one. Otherwise, we will not attain anything at all.